If there is one thing an old man knows better than most, it is that all things must come to an end. Here I am at the end of the evening, and the end of my story, tired, tired and old, but not finished yet.
Are you okay there, Tomás?
What's that?
Are you okay there, Tomás?
I'm grand, so I am, I'm grand. Just tell me now, what story was I telling you?
You were telling us the story of the bull.
I was? Well, no, that's a fine story indeed. And have I told you how the hero got his name?
You have.
And how the warriors were laid low in their time of suffering?
You have, certainly. And you have told us of the great fight Cuchulainn fought on his own to protect Ulster and the bull, until it came he was to fight his own foster brother, Ferda.
Oh, that was a bad business. And I suppose I told you how it ended.
We did not.
Right so.
The battle between Ferda and Cuchulainn. With strong drink, and on top of that the promise of her daughter Finnebear, and on top of that accusations of cowardice, Maeve finally convinced Ferda to go and fight his foster brother. They had told him he would surely win, that he was sure to return triumphant to a hero's welcome. But Ferda knew his own foster brother too well to believe it would ever be an easy victory. Maeve had said she would have her bondsmen beat in a mighty battle gong, which was said to bring great luck to all who fought in her favour. But to Ferda, it made a deadening, lonely sound as he made his dark way down to the fort to do battle with the Hound of Ulster. He spotted Cuchulainn, already red with the blood of many men, and standing like a mighty statue beside the ford. Even from a distance, he could see Cuchulainn's eyes of steel upon him. And in that moment, his courage almost failed him. But then he thought again of how it was said Cuchulainn had put a coward's name on him, and his anger gave him strength, and he strode on. As he came nearer, he could see the sneer and cold expression that showed that this was a man who had killed many and was not tired of it yet. And for a second time, his courage almost failed him. But then he thought of the soft, white arms of the sweet young Finnebear and how she soon would be his. And his desire gave him strength, and he strode on. Finally, he stood before him, silent and unmoving, but for the eyes that burned with anger and suspicion, and the breath that heaved through his two flaring nostrils like angry smoke in the cold air, and the blood that dripped slowly from his many hero wounds. Fear the thought of his times as a boy, how they had played many games together, how they had prayed and shared meals together. And for a third time, he felt that he had no heart for fighting, and he decided he would go. But then he thought of the great and everlasting fame that would follow the name of the man who had defeated Cuchulainn, and how he would be a hero of saga and song for all time. And so, finally, it was vanity that gave him strength. And he spoke.
How's it going?
Hi, Kate.
You've been busy, I heard.
Yeah, I've been stabbing people.
I heard. You've done enough of it. Go home.
We won't.
It's over, Shem. No one's saying you can't fight, but look at you, man.
I'm grand.
How many cuts you got in you? 2,000 perforations.
You're gonna fight on for me, but you was asking me to go home.
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You're going home, and Maeve's getting a bull, and that's all there's to it.
Oh, that's the way it is it? I heard you hanging around Maeve's gaff now. She even has you turned against me.
I'm saying go home, it's over.
It's not over yet, Kate.
What are you saying?
I'm saying fight me if that's what you came down here for. Stick a blade in your own mare over a woman. That's what you came down here for. Do it.
Just go home and saying you won't get hurt.
Look, you knows what you came down here for. I knows you has a blade on you. So shit, or get off the pot, man. I don't have all day.
That's the way you want it.
No, that's the way you want it. For the sake of a whore's backside. And that's all she is. For the sake of a whore's backside only.
Right, you coin. Come on.
The headlines. Police have arrested a 19-year-old man today in connection with the multiple homicides on the Ulaid estate. Satanta, also known as Cookie Cullen, was apprehended in the midst of a knife attack with another fugitive named as 21-year-old Ferdia McDamian. Mr. McDamian was taken to Cooley Regional, where he was pronounced dead on arrival.
And so it was that Cú Chulainn finally bested his foster brother in combat and had killed the brave Fearda, and tears came into his eyes, and it hung so heavy on his heart that he lost all his will for fighting. And while the Hound of Ulster wept, the Queen of Connacht was laughing, for hadn't Maeve taken advantage of his distraction and sent her warriors into Ulster by another route to drive the brown bull to our own kingdom.
Not that wire, the other one, you dog. That's the radio. That's the wipers. Oh, come here. Ah, we have it now. Avoid the kid. We have it now. Go on, out of here.
Get out of the way.
Who's that standing in the driver? Is that Dara McFeena?
Get out of the way, you dog. Hi, what you think you're made of at all? Get out of the way.
I'll kill you. I'll cut you open. That's my fucking cab.
Ram the cunt. He's annoying me. You okay, get out of here, fine.
Death and women wailing were the fruits of the cattle raid of Cooley. But although there had been death on all sides, still Maeve rejoiced, for she had at last in her possession the prized brown bull. But her joy was not to be for long, for as soon as the bulls met, there was great destruction.
Shit, put the foot down, champ. Come on, faster. That's it, we're losing him. Avoid the kid.
Hi, there's Ali's white sheep. What's that doing there? Watch, you fool. You're going straight into it. Swerve it. Jesus, swerve it.
At the junction at the edge of the Ulaid estate and Connacht Grove roundabout has been cordoned off, and all traffic diverted following a tragic accident earlier on today, when at about 6 p.m, a brown El Toro Jeep, which had been reported stolen, came speeding toward the roundabout and collided with another white Jeep, apparently of the same make. Both cars exploded on impact. The white Jeep was driven by an Oisin King from the Connacht Grove area of the city, who was brought to Cooley Regional and pronounced dead. The driver of the stolen vehicle is also believed to be dead and has not been named. Shauna O'Kee, Limerick News.
And so it was that when the brown and the white bulls met, they both perished, and their like has never been seen in the world again. Queen Maeve had lost the brown bull she so much wanted, and Ali lost the white bull he so much treasured. And all the men dead, Fearda, Dara, the warriors of Connacht, and even their own son Oisin had perished in a war without merit.
"'Twas a black day for Erin, with weeping and wailing. Black day for widows and mothers and kin. Oh, black is the earth where the young men lay broken. Green Erin will ne'er see these young men return."
The great battle was over, and Maeve was at the mercy of those who would enslave her, when it chanced she met the brave Cuchulainn. It was a meeting she was to regret, for it would cause her great shame to the end of her days.
"Okay now, Mrs. King, it's time for you to cooperate now."
"Get your hands off of me," I said. I didn't see you there, Cookie. Now listen, Cookie, I'm sorry, I mean, about 40 and all."
"You are, yeah, Maeve King. You're pure sorry.
I know, Mrs. King, come along now."
"Questioning only. You didn't tell him nothing about me, did you?
Mrs. King,
you won't tell him nothing, will
you?
Sure you won't. You won't tell him nothing."
"Mrs. King, no, I won't tell you again."
"Are you in your flowers?"
"What?
Are you having your period?"
"What are you talking about?"
"You shouldn't have worn them white pants, kid."
What are you talking about? Hi, guard! Guard, I needs to be let home. I needs to change. Look at me.
Shame, okay, it really shows up, doesn't it?
The
red and the white, doesn't it? You look like a Japanese flag or something. Hang on. Hold on a minute, kids. I think I can smell it.
Shut up, you! You whoremaster, you! I hope they put you away for life! I hope you drop dead! I hope you never see a day outside of this place! Where are you going? Give me something to cover me! Give me something to cover me!
The scholars whose task it was to gather stories put all of the parts of the great cattle raid of Cooley together and set them down in a big brown book. But when they went to finish it, the book screamed out, for it knew the saga was not yet completed. That scream was high and level, and in that scream there was neither woe nor joy, nor anguish nor fear, nor lament, nor any human feeling at all. For the scream was nothing, nothing but itself.
Date, 25th of October, 2007. Location, the Cooley Garda Station. Detectives present, myself, Detective O'Houlihan, and Detective Dread. Okay, Cookie Cullen, why don't you tell us what you know and we'll tell you what we know. Wouldn't that be fair?
Why don't you start with whatever it is you find so hilarious about this situation?
Like not laughing at you, Sam. Just something that just happened. Did you see Maeve, did you? In her flowers.
Maeve King?
Yeah, that's the one. She's on the blab, all over her white pants.
Oh, how very satisfying for you.
Nah, man, just pure funny. Oh, man, I wish I had a camera. And her face then.
Aren't you the cold creature, left on the same day you killed your foster brother?
Oi, leave 40 out of it. I'm not laughing at that at all.
Look, we're not going to beat around the bush, Mr. Cullen. We already know all the facts here. We know about you, we know what your nickname refers to, and...
The dog I killed? How do we hear about that?
We know why all the other young men of the Ulaid were recently incapacitated. We know that Maeve King is behind a war between the two estates, over a bull jeep, apparently. And we know that you've been defending this bull and the Ulaid...
So what are you saying?
What are we saying? Well, how's this? Aren't we saying that you were caught red-handed in the act of butchering your own foster brother twice? Didn't you kill him for a finish? Must be very proud of yourself, mustn't you? Sure, isn't it yourself that killed all those other young men that have been turned up all week? And for what?
To defend a large brown status symbol that used to park in Darlamack Fakenna's driveway.
It's not much to take another man's life over, is it? A car.
I don't know what you're looking at me like that for. I'm not saying nothing.
Well, very well, Mr. Cullen. Here's what you can expect. You killed Ferdia in front of the police. There's no doubt about that, and it won't take much proving.
Of course, you showed a lot of remorse, didn't you? At the time, anyway, that'll go in your favour. I'm thinking... Now, sure, if we take into account then your mental problems and your drug addiction...
Hi. What are you saying? I don't have no mental problems or drug addiction.
Oh, we believe you. However, I think it's highly likely that you will develop a bit of both between now and your trial date. And I'm afraid your solicitor will demand it.
No way, man.
That is as may be. In any chance, it seems unlikely that this single charge of manslaughter would result in a particularly long sentence. The other killings will remain unsolved, and
Hi.
I don't know what...
How are you saying that? That you know as I did them, and you still saying they're unsolved? How's that like?
Welcome to modern policing, Cookie Boy.
What are you telling me at all?
Well, Mr. Cullen, these are the facts. Forensics suggest that all the other killings were carried out with the same weapon, your knife, which you had on you when arrested. And although you haven't an alibi in terms of prosecution...
It's not enough, Cookie Boy.
Quite plainly, the idea of only one person killing so many people over such a small period of time, well, it'll never stick.
We'll have to go with our single manslaughter, won't we? Put you out of the way for a while at least, Cullen.
Hi. What sort of girls are you at all? What's this country coming to if I kill all those people and I just get away with it?
Well, we know the story, Cullen, but that doesn't mean we're allowed to tell it. A case needs witnesses and credible evidence. Nobody in Ulloyd is going to testify against you. We only prosecute when we've a chance of convicting. The taxpayer, you realise. Simply a waste of money to go with
no way,
any
man.
Circumstance.
No way. Manslaughter only. You can't do that at all. I has to get the credit.
The credit?
That's right. I needs the credit. I deserves it. I earned it. Few dopey guards are going to stop me getting it.
You're serious?
You realise that if you confess to these murders, you'll spend the rest of your life in jail.
You don't get it, man. You won't ever get it. Your type don't. You have to name me the killer. You has to. What's the point of killing all them people if you don't get the credit? You can't catch me. You admit it. So fair play. I confess. Now, get me into all the papers.
You're saying that you're seriously prepared to throw away your life for fame?
My life on the Ulloyd estate, is it? My life being a nobody scumbag, is it? I know what you think of me. You boys, you're not white at all. I'm white. I sees the whole thing. You think I'm nothing, don't you? Nothing slum scum hard, man. Do you think I care, do you? I'll always be nothing in your world. But that don't mean I can't be a king in my own. And you've the nerve then to talk to me about my life. My life, is it? My life? Tell me my life wasn't over the day I was born in that shithole. My life is to begin and end in that housing estate, man. You think I have a choice about killing people? You don't know what life is. You don't know what life is, man, because you never had to live it. And now you sit here in your posh office and talk to me about my life. Well, fuck you and your unsolved murders. They'll be solved quick enough if they happen somewhere else. Listen to me, you handicaps. I'm going to be someone, do you hear me? I'm going to be someone. I'm going to be Chapel Reed. I'm going to be the fucking general. I'm bad, bad Leroy Brown, do you hear me? I did it. I did all of it. And I do it again, do you hear me? Write it out. I signed it. I did it all. I did it all. It's some story, champ. They're going to be talking about me forever.
Yes, Mr. Cullen. I believe that they might.
And that is how the story came to be found of the great hero of Ireland and his wondrous feats of butchery. Forgotten are the names of the bards who composed it. Forgotten are the names of the orphans and widows he left behind. But the hero's name will live on as long as people need blood in their stories. This version came to me through my eye, which sees through time. As for the truth of it, some of the things in the story are undoubtedly true. Some of the things I own, devilish lies. And some poetical figments. Some seem possible and others not. And some are for the enjoyment of Egypts. And so the time has come for me to close my eye. It has seen enough blood for one night. Good night, and jibe with you all.